And then would you please help me welcome everybody watching via live stream from around the world. Welcome our eChurch to church this morning, everybody. Ashish, I see you watching in India. You were here for a few months and now you're watching online. Great to have you part of our church there. Oh, one last thing and then we'll get started on our conversation. I'm just doing this for free. Nobody asked me to. I'm just doing it for free. No sponsorship involved. If you park in the parking lot, please don't park in front of a yellow line. Is that okay? Can I say that? We don't own the parking lot, and the other tenants need to be able to get in and out. So there's like almost the level of a United Nations negotiation that has taken place to allow us and the parking lot to be at peace. And it sort of means that people can access their garages, but we can park where the white lines are. And then it just means different things. Now, please don't break the peace treaty. Please don't break it. So I'm just going to ask you very nicely, and then all those wonderful people who help in the parking lot and put their lives at risk for the gospel. I want to say thank you for 2 weekends of standing in the rain and serving us at Kids Church. Thank you so much. And if you park in front of a yellow line or a red line, we actually don't have the authority to prevent them from towing it. So please don't. I have a taser, but I don't want to use it on you. No. I'm joking. You know how those jokes can suddenly turn? I had one like that. I shared it earlier. And then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll share the joke now. Then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 4. I was back at the gymming, training, CrossFit thing, you know? And it's still something I'm trying to get past emotionally. So I share about it, you know? So I said to my coach, Dean, who watches online, Dean, you should be here. But I said to him, I'm feeling better, but the middle section, I just feel we need to do something there. What can I do? He said, you could do some skipping. I said, well, I do quite a lot of skipping. I mean, how long should I skip? We said, no, skip some meals. No, that wasn't funny. Anyway, I'm not doing that. I should, hey. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Let's jump into our conversation today and I'll explain to you the topic as we read it. In light of all these things, here's what I want you to do. It's from the message. While I'm locked up here, Paul's writing about his own life, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily. Pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. What a great scripture. I'm responding to the scripture. I've titled my message this morning, It's All God, on a play for the term It's All Good. You know, we love this term, It's All Good. To be truthful, everything's not always good. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes it's not all good. Sometimes you prepare a meal and you taste it and you realize it's not, it's not good. Only God ends each day, you know, and goes, it is good. I joked back at my CrossFit instructor. I said to him, I don't feel I'm changing fast enough. He said, you've only been doing this for 7 weeks. I said, you need to speed things up. God created the world in 7 days. You can do better. We have to improve things. It's all good. It's all God. I've had so many messages from so many people saying, in light of this or that, the economy and a technical that and the political thing, this. How are you feeling? And I want to tell you how I'm feeling. I'm feeling it's all good because it's all God. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. You don't start your spiritual journey with a great amount of emotional energy and then fade away over time. A good Christian journey starts out a little weak, but gets stronger and stronger. It's not biblical to start strong and weaken. The Bible says that we are strengthened from glory to glory as the steps go by. And I want to spend some time today, this service and tonight, talking about how to keep an it's all God, it's all good spiritual attitude, no matter what takes place in your life. The reality is that we don't only worship when things fall in line as we would hope. We worship all the time in the confidence that things will fall in line as God had intended. Our confidence is not in things we see, but things we don't yet see. This last couple of days or weeks of rain have been amazing. I legitimately love my garden. I planted it as an indigenous, except for one or two Greek things. I planted mostly an indigenous garden and then a few cypress trees, which I think should be in every garden. Hey, I'm from Cyprus. It's a place in the Bible. Look, you people are Christians. Eventually, you must read it. I planted a few things, and some stuff just wouldn't grow. I even got a grapevine. I planted it there because all good Greeks plant lemon trees and grapevines. You should. The one is biblical and the other is financial. And it wouldn't grow, and it wouldn't grow, and over the last few weeks, it's just exploded with growth. I did some research about it. I thought, maybe there's something wrong with this thing, that it's a false start. It's going to start and then die off because it's a whole thing. And I did some research, and I discovered it's not a false start, that grapevines taste better when they've been through tough times, and that they're no longer protecting grapevines from the truth of weather to ensure that the quality of the fruit it produces and the wine it produces reflects the intensity of that year. And that when the grapevine knows that it has been through a difficult time, it prepares itself to explode into growth at the first sign of hope. It doesn't hang back, but instead it goes all out. It immediately produced its first signs of grapes, even before leaves. It just jumped at it. I remember years ago, like 100 years ago, I was in a church service. I was in a church service and I was listening to a botanist. Is that the right term? Somebody who studies plants and things? She was a lecturer and held a doctorate in botany, and she was doing the giving message. And I've never forgotten her message. She said she studies grasses, different types of grasses and how they grow. And she said that she doesn't know if you've ever noticed that if you take some plants and even some grasses or some weeds and you pull them out from the ground and you throw them on the floor. She said, never throw them on the floor. Go put them in a pile somewhere, because they are wired to recognize if they're dying, they must do just one more thing, produced seed. And they'll spend overnight, put all their effort and energy into producing one last flower, to produce one last set of seed, to sow in the ground, so that if the one thing is dead, in due course, the seeds will grow again. The one more thing I'll do is sow into the future and believe with confidence in what God has in mind. And I think that we have to have the same mindset, the same confidence that it's all God. Even the ups and the downs, the journey of uncertainties, the things gained and the things lost, it's all God. The struggle is, how do you keep your heart pure and your head clean and your confidence up? Throughout the scriptures this morning, I'm going to read various examples of don't sit on your hands, don't keep droopy heads, and don't have weak knees. I've come to realize that if our emotional and spiritual space isn't strong, it really affects every part of us, even our physical posture. Sometimes we start out strong, stepping and walking with confidence, but then stuff happens and even your walk becomes compromised. And these passages of scripture are devoted to stop being like that. Don't look down all the time. Look up. Look forward, look with confidence, and give your heart a reason to celebrate. And we'll have that conversation. One of the, Tuai Tan, where's Tuai? I'm sure she's here somewhere. I'm so sorry to do this to you. We were reminiscing the other day about our university days. She is much younger than me, but we were reminiscing about the university days and when I pastored there for 13, 14 years. You know, one of the biggest struggles I found pastoring a predominantly student community that were mostly black students was to try and create confidence in people to look me in the eye when they talk to me. It was just this looking down. There was part respect, but it was deeper than that. It wasn't respect. It was worthiness problems. Because we had somehow developed a generation that said, I'm not sure I'm worthy to have a conversation with you. Yet they're university students standing in a university where the top 2 or 3% in smartness in the nation find themselves. And even though the academics were there, the confidence and the heart was still needing to be propped up. Now, I can't help wondering whether we don't sometimes talk to God like that. We won't look, we look down as if to say, I'm so sorry to be a bother. And I wonder if it isn't time for us every now and then to say, but God is the lover of our soul. He has built us up, established us, set us free, died on a cross for us. And we look up, for where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. And I guess that part of the devil's trick in our lives is not necessarily to make us believe the scriptures less. It is to make us believe that the scriptures are less for us. We have this weird idea that they are for another because somehow we're out of the loop, out of the line, or discredited or disqualified. And our conversation today is God has a plan. And my confidence rests fully in him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 from the Amplified says, so you, my son, be strong and empowered in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things, the doctrine, the precepts, the admonitions, the sum of it all, which you have heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses, entrust as a treasure to reliable, faithful men who will be able or capable to teach, qualified to teach others. Take with me your share of hardships, pass through the difficulties which you are called to endure like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then he goes into descriptions of a soldier. No soldier in active service gets entangled in the affairs of civilian life. He avoids them so that he may please the one who enlisted him to serve. And if anyone competes as an athlete in competitive games, he's not crowned with victory unless he competes according to the rules. And then finally, the hardworking farmer who labors to produce crops ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Think over the things I'm saying, for the Lord will grant you insight and understanding in everything. In this passage of scripture, Paul writes to Timothy, his young protege, and he says, I want you to keep your confidence up, and I want you to have the attitude of a soldier. I want you to have the attitude of a runner. I want you to have the attitude of a farmer. And in each of them, he describes a specific posture or attitude of the heart that'll keep him strong. And this morning, I want to talk to you about those things. I'm encouraged by the idea that I'm pretty much none of those. I'm not a soldier, unless I'm in the Lord's army. I mean, I'm not a runner unless I'm running the race of faith. I do try every now and then, you know, every now and then to run. I'm not really a farmer. I mean, I pretend to know a lot about plants. I know just enough to know that you plant a lemon tree and you buy lemons. It's not true. I've got 8 of my very first lemons on my lemon tree. I'm so excited. And then when bugs infested it, I texted Armando, our drummer, and I said, please, he works at Kirkwood, San Miguel. And they box and grow citrus and send it around the world. I said, the devil has attacked my lemon trees. What should I do? He sent it to the chief nurseryman. I don't know who he sent it to. Here he is. He sent me photos back. I sent him photos. He said, go buy this stuff and spray it. I put on my army paint. I got dressed in camo. I poured out the oil that you use. I bought a compressor. I was legit. I sprayed that thing every few days. I took pleasure in watching the bugs die. I won't lie. I took pleasure. I did little white critters, and then little like a black powder. It had to go. If it wasn't green, it was gone. That was my rule. I wanted lemons. The fact that I can buy lemons for 45 cents does not matter against the 200 rand I paid for the chemicals. Because these were going to be my lemons for the long term. I sprayed, and then I waited a bit, and I sprayed some more, and I waited a bit. Now I realized I just stopped spraying because I was sort of starting to wither myself. You laugh. So I can't wait for the first set of lemons. None of you are going to come for it, though, because you're thinking, how many chemicals are in that lemon? My lemons are bionic. Just one touch from that lemon juice, and you will stay awake the rest of your life. No, they were all, I don't know, chemical-free or something. I don't know what they were. They were natural things. So I'm not any of those things. But I think we all are a part of this. There is an attitude about each of these that God was trying to share that I want for us to find in these verses and to adopt so that our attitude remains, God's got this. And we don't droop down and let our hands hang down and lose our confidence. The first idea that Paul writes to Timothy is that if you want to be a good soldier, you have to work according to a plan. A good soldier sticks to a plan. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8, it says, that's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions awaiting for us ahead. It's what we trust in, but don't yet see that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming. That's such a powerful scripture. It says, no matter what the temporary situation is like, I'm working with a plan towards a bigger future. See, when you're working towards a plan, temporary setups are not a problem. When you don't have a plan, then temporary setups change your direction. That's really important. You don't change your direction every time something comes up. You keep your course and you wait for the right time. But when you don't have a plan, a soldier has a plan, you do this, I'll do that. When we get there, we'll do this. We'll take this field, we'll conquer that, we'll own that. When we do that, temporary setups don't distract you from the plan. But when you don't have a plan, you think, maybe I'll do this, and it doesn't work out. You go, it's not that. I'm called to do something else. And then you follow that for a bit and something goes wrong or the person doesn't cooperate or you don't feel it. I mean, it's the latest thing now. I'm not feeling it. Dear Jesus, I'm going to do a sermon just on that. Can we have an amen? I'm not feeling it. How are you doing on the church thing? I'm not feeling it right now. Okay, but if you wait until you feel something, the devil will help you out. And so we change the plan. We start out a certain way and we change it. No, a good confident attitude is there might be a few ruts in the road, a few rocks on the path. There might be a few delays and a couple of distractions, but I'm staying on course. This plan hasn't changed because the one who wrote it is eternal and his ink is permanent. I want to encourage the attitude of living life on a plan. It doesn't mean that life has to be overplanned. It doesn't mean that every hour of every day has to be structured. You don't have to say to someone, I can't have coffee with you. It doesn't fit in the eternal plan of God. Let's not get dramatic about it. But there is a bigger plan. I'm not dating the wrong way because there's a bigger plan. I'm not doing business a certain way because there's a bigger plan. I get involved in church because there's a bigger plan. I'm not filling my Sundays. I'm reaching towards my future. And when you get that idea right, you realize it's all a plan God has in mind. This great preacher, known by many, sometimes studying people's preaching can be so helpful. There was a preacher called Smith Wigglesworth. You may know him, he's a little bit crazy. Good crazy though, now we have just a lot of crazy. Full stop. But he was good crazy. And people were having a debate with him and asking him if he really thinks that all his messages make such a big difference. He said, can he even remember the messages he preached a year ago? And Smith Wigglesworth responded by saying, I can't remember the message I preached a year ago, but I'm pretty sure you can't remember every meal you've eaten. I'm just sure you needed to eat something. And just because you can't remember it, not every meal is memorable. Not every scenery is life-changing. Not every prayer is earth-shattering or heaven-opening. But you need every prayer. And you need every meal. And you need every sacrifice. And every moment of worship. Because it all builds to one great plan. If we devote ourselves only to the memorable moments, we'll go from one high to the other and we'll be confused by the lows. May I be honest with you about being a preacher Christian for a long time? The lows have become more meaningful to me than the highs. Because I see in that moment a side to God that I don't see any other place. The tender God, the close to me God, the stops the universe to pay attention to you God, that you don't see in any other place but in the tough moments. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I'm not changing course because something's come up. The plan stays. Secondly, he encourages us to have the attitude of a runner. Like I said, I'm not really any of these things. I do like to run on a treadmill, but that's because I have control. Too much amen there, I think. That's okay, Sonny. It's never too much amen. I have control. If I'm tired, I slow it down. If it's going up too much, I just bring it down. You know, unlike life. Can't do that in life. That's why I don't run. People say, run on the road. No. Lack of control of drivers and road conditions. I'm not that. But I'll tell you, there is an attitude that's really important. The Bible says, if you're going to be a fruitful, successful, victorious runner, you got to stick to the path and run according to the rules. Stick to the path and run according to the rules. I don't enjoy running on the road for a few reasons. I don't think I'm really good at it. I like controlling the climate around me, to be honest. I'm also not really good at it because I never quite know where to go. I mean, I've done it a few times. You leave your house with confidence. You go a certain direction. The crazy dogs come out on the side. So you decide, I'm never going down that road again. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you've tried this. You take a turn and another turn, and then you find yourself in dead end street or crazy lane. So you say to yourself, I'm not doing that again. My favorite misguided run is when I've run and run and run and come home and I'm confident that I have done at least 5 kilometers. I've done at least 5, maybe even 6 kilometers. It could be 7. And your watch tells you you've successfully completed 700 meters. Okay? Thanks for that. Laugh. I'm going to keep you here now until 11. Punishment. No, I wouldn't do that. I thought I'd gone much further. With all that sweating and panting, I thought I'd done well. But you know me well enough to know that if I'm laughing at myself, I'm loading the gun. Sometimes smile at the Christians who think they've done very well. Oh, they've gone far spiritually. They've got no measurement, so they measure themselves. And you think, well, I've gone far. Hey, buddy, that's less than a K. Keep going. We'll see how it's changed the room right now. I apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Let's go back to me, back to me. That Greek guy can't even run a K. No, we need a path and a rule and a plan. Otherwise, I think I've gone far and I haven't. Or I think I've gone in the right direction to discover it doesn't count. Or to think I've achieved a personal best and I haven't because the rats that were running with me beat me. My dog is my best guide. I made a decision that I would run or walk her until she was tired. It's a terrible decision. It broke me emotionally. Let me explain to you what break emotionally means. It means I left the house loving her. And I came back to the house with less love for her. As if to say, you are deliberately doing this. It is as though you know. But she got out of the harness. And then she did that thing she does, which is to look at you and run. And the closer you get, it's like that friend who used to drive away while you try to get in the car. It's that deliberate, belittling, demeaning, what is wrong with you thing. I wouldn't want for you to think you've gone far, but you haven't left home yet. I wouldn't want you to feel you've made progress, only to discover it's in the wrong direction. In fact, the Bible says, Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He said, I, having taught others, do not disqualify myself and find I'm nothing more than a man who was beating the air and pretending. How do you keep your confidence up? Don't go far in the wrong direction. Go far in the right direction. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 says, so don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long distance runners so no one will trip and fall. And so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Cut through and make smooth, straight paths for your feet that are safe and go in the right direction so that the leg which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Do you know why this scripture is so powerful? It says that some of the best healing is a straight path. How powerful is that? That some of the best healing is a straight path. Someone's calling you. Jesus is phoning you. It's all right, Kelly. You let them know that you're in the house of the Lord. There we go. One more. Oh, is it yours? It's all right. Don't be sorry. It's all right. It's the third row. So you just put it in the offering. It's in the offering. I feel it's an idol before the Lord and must be sacrificed on the altar of giving. I'm kidding. Kidding. Some of you are like, nothing better distract. That guy is coming for my phone, that Greek. The best kind of healing is often just a straight path. That verse is very powerful. Sometimes we pray for the leg that's hurting and not for the road it's walking on. And that's what this verse is trying to say. If you don't want an injury to become worse, it says, just make a straight path. How do you keep your confidence up? A straight path does it. I'm going to get to the third one, and then tonight I'll start off somewhere here and go into the boxer. But I'm not that either. So although I have some gloves at home, I'm not going to bring them. But it's a good conversation. Finally, the farmer needs a product. A farmer needs a product. If you're going to keep your confidence strong, here's what you say. What God is producing in me is worth everything I need to go through to get there. The product is worth the process. Anytime we think that it's not, we check out of the process. But when we recognize that what God is doing is worth it. So I get messages from friends all over. How's your city doing? My answer is, God is producing something in our city. The end result is unknown to me yet, but my confidence is in God. So whatever his process, I have confidence in the product. A farmer is the very first, the Bible says, to enjoy the fruit of his own labor. When you become and live out who God intends for you to be, you'll enjoy it first. And then everybody else around you also. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 simply says, the farmer sows the word. That very simple sentence has revolutionized my own thinking. Whenever I'm unsure about where the future is going, I sow the word. Not somebody else's word, not somebody else's advice, not the report on News 24, I sow the word. What does it mean to sow something? Every time you say it, you're sowing it. Every time you say it, you're sowing it. Think about how many things we share on social media and how many of them are helpful or harmful. Right? And every time you share it, you sow it. So when people say something about, have you heard this is going to happen or that might happen or the latest is this, I acknowledge the facts, but I sow the word. I don't sow something else. My response is always, I hear what you say. I think that's probably interesting, untrue or true. But let me tell you what the word says. The word I have on my heart is that God is at work doing mighty things. That's my word. My word is that he is our king, resource and future. I sow the word and the word produces great product. I want to encourage you that no matter what happens for anybody else out there, by that I mean people who don't have a faith in God, no matter what happens, my prayer is two things. The one is that we will share our faith so that others will join the journey. And the second is we will recognize that we worship a God bigger than any facts, figures, situations, or circumstances around us. And he can make a wellspring up in a desert if he so commands it. Can you say amen to that? If he commands it, it'll happen. And our confidence should therefore be, don't have droopy hands and weak knees. But I want to wrap up by saying, don't sit on your hands either. That term, found in three of the verses I shared today, has the following meaning. It means, don't be paralyzed by present circumstance. Don't sit on your hands. I think there's a danger of stopping short and saying, I'll wait and see. Today, I want to encourage you that a wait and see attitude is not biblical. That a wait and see attitude will harm your confidence in God and your confidence in your future. Your confidence should be, God has a plan. I'm walking according to his purpose. He's producing a great product in my life. I'm willing to fight the good fight and I won't sit on my hands. That's why I want to end on the boxer tonight and a little bit today. You got to get your hands up in the fighting position and say, let's go. Yeah. Yeah. You don't sit and wait. I think that's a dangerous thing to do. I want to encourage you. This is your word from the Lord for this next season. Step forward and don't hold back. Don't wait for a better day. This is God's day. That which you've believed for and hoped for and trusted for and works according to God's plan for you, step in it. Walk in it. Receive it. Build on it. Nothing that happens around you will change his mind and take you off course. What God has begun, he will bring also to completion. Would you please stand with me as we pray? Would you give us a minute and not rush out just so we could do this prayer? But I want to also share for a moment a little humor with you. I have 42 seconds. for the first time in 10 years, I am finishing on the clock. Wow. Thanks, Sunny. Someone just said, thank God. But they said it like that. There's communion in the front, personal prayer up front, a prayer card. Just by the way, on the communion, a few of you have asked, the wafer is part of the little parcel. You peel the one off and have it, and then you have the other. Just for hygiene reasons, we're going that route, and just because it stays out before the service and after, we just feel like it needs to be carefully done. So just feel free to take advantage of communion. The people in front are trained, and they just want to be able to have a personal prayer with you, so you don't feel like you're just part of this big thing. But there's personal prayer also. Could we pray that we will have a confidence in our heart that says, it's all good because it's all God? Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you that your word is sown in our hearts, and from it comes spiritual strength. Would you please help us to keep our confidence and our focus much like a farmer, a soldier who needs to step forward, and an athlete. Father, would you teach us to have the right kinds of mindsets so that our posture is upright and worshipful, not looking down, not sitting on our hands, not weak at the knees, but confidently stepping forward and saying, God is good. And because of your goodness toward us, our path is laid out, our purpose is clear, and that you will finish the good work you have begun. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise and thanksgiving? Such an honor to spend the morning with you.